This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Respected listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The topic of today's talk is Fatima radiyallahu anha. Fatima, the liege lady of paradise. The liege lady of the believing women, of the women of the world, and the radiant. Fatima radiyallahu anha is truly deserving of all of these titles, for she was the daughter of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and a piece of him, a reflection of him, a representation of him, in her faith, in her mannerisms, in her character, in her speech, even in her gait, the way she walked. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a role model for the believers, and Allah has commanded the believers to follow in his footsteps, to adopt his example, to emulate him. In a similar manner, his family, his children, his wives are role models and examples for the believing men and women to follow and to emulate. Today, inshallah, we'll discuss just a few aspects of the life of Fatima radiyallahu anha. Some of this information may be new to some of us. For some of us, this is just a reminder and a repetition of what we already know. But even being reminded of the same details about the life of someone like Fatima radiyallahu anha is not bereft of benefits. In fact, this is a reflection of the Holy Qur'an. The Holy Qur'an is not just a collection of laws, of do's and don'ts. Much of the Qur'an is taken up by history and by the accounts of many people, namely the messengers alayhim as-salam and their followers. In fact, a number of prophets, their stories have been mentioned repeatedly throughout the Quran in different ways. Look at the story of the Prophet Musa alayhi as-salam. The details of his life are scattered across the Quran, but sometimes the same details, the same particular story, the same account of the same incident is repeated in different ways in different surahs of the whole Quran. So, stories of the pious and their repeated reminders, this is actually a reflection of the Quran itself. It's in the spirit of the Quran. And there's a purpose in these reminders, in these repetitions. And this is illustrated by something that was mentioned by Imam Junayd al-Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayhi, a very famous scholar and saint of Islam, universally acknowledged in amongst Muslims as being a great scholar and a saint. Imam Junayd al-Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayhi, his students once asked him, since he would relate stories of the pious, and this has always been a tradition in Islam, we find many biographies and in gatherings, in speeches, we often hear accounts, sometimes entire speeches are taken up with the accounts of the lives of the pious. And we're not even speaking about the messengers and the companions of radiyallahu anhum. So Imam Junayd al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, he would relate stories of the pious. And his students once asked him, that is there any benefit in the relation of the stories of the pious? So Imam Junayd al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi said, yes, of course there is. So the student said, what can you cite as evidence? How can you show that? So he quoted a verse of the Holy Quran of Surah Hud, in which Allah says, وَقُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِذَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is a verse of Surah Hud, in which Allah says, وَقُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ. And we do relate to, addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah says, and we do relate to you of each of these stories, of the accounts of the messengers. مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Such accounts that through them we give steadfastness to your heart. وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقِّ. And to you, O Messenger of Allah, has come the truth. And in these stories has come the truth to you, and an admonition, and a reminder for the believers. So, even the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being the leader of all the prophets, of all the messengers, being the best of creation, being the imam of all the messengers, Allah would reveal stories of the previous messengers, even though he was superior to them. Allah would reveal and relate repeatedly their stories, their accounts, and that of their followers. And Allah explicitly says that the purpose in them is to give steadfastness and strengthen the heart and to inspire the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If the Messenger of Allah, being who he was, could be inspired and strengthened and be given steadfastness and be given solace and comfort through the stories of those to whom he was superior, then what can be said of the believers when we are reminded of the stories of those who are far greater than us, the pious, the messengers alayhim as-salam, and their beloved families and their beloved companions. So, in learning about the life of someone like Fatima radiyallahu anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if we learn something new, alhamdulillah. Even if we don't learn something new, The mere reminder and the repetition of these details reinforces that inspiration and that steadfastness, that admonition and that reminder which Allah speaks of in this verse of the Holy Qur'an. Fatima radiallahu anha was one of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a number of children, and of the daughters she was the youngest. So his eldest daughter was Zainab radiallahu anha. Then the other daughter was Urqiyya radiallahu anha. Then Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. And the youngest was Fatima radiallahu anha. These were the four daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Apart from these daughters, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa sallam also had a number of male children, all of whom unfortunately passed away in their infancy. The eldest was Qasim, and it was after Qasim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acquired his kunya, his nom de guerre, and he was known as Abu al-Qasim. So his name was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, but his kunya was Abu al-Qasim. That's how he was actually known, as Abu al-Qasim, named after his first son Qasim. After Qasim, another son was also born, known as Abdullah, but he, just like Qasim passed away in his infancy. The second son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah, also died in his infancy. After these two, Qasim and Abdullah, there's actually a difference of opinion amongst the ulama, since we don't have much to go by. Two of the names have been mentioned, Tahir and Tayyib. Now some ulama are of the opinion that Tahir was a third son, and Tayyib was a fourth son. Others are of the opinion that Tahir was a third son who was also known as Tayyib. And some ulama are of the opinion that there were only two sons, Qasim and Abdullah, and Tahir and Tayyib are alternative names or labels for the second son, Abdullah. So what the ulama do agree on is that there were at least two sons, Qasim and Abdullah. Then there's disagreement about the third son, whether there was a third son called Tahir, or whether that's just a second name of Abdullah, and whether there was a fourth son, Tayyib. So the first two, Qasim and Abdullah, the ulama do agree on. But all of these sons died in their infancy. The only other male son born to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Ibrahim radiallahu anhu, who was born to Maria Qibtiyya radiallahu anha, Maria the Copt, who was given to him by Muqawqis, the patriarch of Alexandria, Egypt. He had sent a gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maria Qibtiyya radiallahu anha gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Ibrahim radiallahu anha, and he was born in the 8th year of Hijrah, so many, many years after all of his other children. Before Ibrahim radiallahu an, the last child to be born to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who actually survived. Well, in fact, ulama say that Abdullah, the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who died in his infancy, he was actually born after Islam. So he was born a number of years after Fatima radiallahu anha, but he didn't survive. But after Islam and after the birth of Abdullah, for many, many years, the only child to be born to him, if we go by that opinion of no third son, is Ibrahim radiallahu anhu, and that was in the 8th year of Hijrah, a mere 2 years before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world. So, in fact, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was over 60 years old, He was father to Ibrahim radiyallahu anhu, but again, and he was very beloved to him, but again Ibrahim radiyallahu anhu didn't survive. He died in his infancy. And there is a wisdom in the non-survival of the sons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah had declared in the Quran, ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. And this verse was actually revealed before the birth of Ibrahim رضي الله عنه. So in it Allah says Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is not the father of any man amongst you. ولكن رسول الله, rather he is a messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets. Since prophethood is not monarchy, and since prophethood is not a dynasty, it was destined that all of the male children of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would die in their infancy. Apart from these children, the main focus today would be on Fatima radiyallahu anha, the youngest of the four daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She played a prominent role in the life of the Messenger alayhi salam. She was extremely beloved to him. She was the wife of Ali radiyallahu an, and the mother of Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhuma, and the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam only survived through Fatima radiyallahu anha. All the children from the other daughters also did not survive. So there were no further future generations. The progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam survived only through Fatima radiyallahu anha and Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhuma. Now, Fatima radiyallahu anha was born in the 35th year of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, 5 years before the first revelation. And in fact, that was the same year when the Kaaba was rebuilt. So when the Kaaba was rebuilt and the Quraysh disagreed about how to replace the black stone, the Al-Hajr al-Aswad, and they fell into a very severe dispute, which would have led to bloodshed. And eventually they agreed on one person, and that person turned out to be the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to most reports, it was in the same year that Fatima radiyallahu anha was born, 5 years before the first revelation. So she was already 5 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first received the Quran. And having grown up in such a household, we can only imagine her childhood and the influence of her parents, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Ummul Mu'mineen Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu anha. Having a father like that and a mother like that, and what a mother. Khadija radiyallahu anha undoubtedly had a great influence on all of her children, and especially Fatima radiyallahu anha. And to understand Fatima radiyallahu anha, one needs to understand her mother. She was like her mother, she followed in her mother's footsteps. And what was the caliber and the character of Khadija radiyallahu anha? Time and time again, we gain snippets here and there in scattered hadith. Fatima Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu anha was a great believer, a woman of great faith, of patience, of great support, and a woman of great inspiration, even to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a debate as to who was the first child to believe. There is a debate, well, not the first child, but who was the first male to believe. Was it Ali radiyallahu anhu? Was it Zayd ibn Harithah radiyallahu anhu? Was it Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu? And the ulama tend to agree that the first male adult was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. The first freed slave and someone in their adolescence or teenage years, or maybe older in their youth, was Zayd ibn Harithah radiyallahu anhu. And the first child was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu. But There is no disagreement as to who was the first believer amongst the Muslims after Rasulullah. Well, who was the first believer of the Ummah. And that honour goes to a woman, a lady, Khadija radiallahu anha. She believed even before Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anha. She was the first believer. And she wasn't just a passive believer. She was a pillar of strength, a source of inspiration to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only 2 weeks ago when doing the tafsir of Surah Al-Alaq, Surah Iqra, we learned that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this overwhelming experience of receiving the first words of revelation and of meeting Jibreel alayhi salam, he came home trembling, fearful, frightened, overwhelmed by his whole experience. And he rushed home saying, "Zammiluni, zammiluni, enshroud me, cover me in a blanket." And he expressed his fears to Khadija radiallahu anha, the great burden of responsibility that hung over him, his own fright, his fear, his being filled with awe and his being overwhelmed. And Khadija radiallahu anha, she of all people was consoling the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and her words to him were, "Never, by Allah, Allah will never disgrace you. Allah will never let you perish." And she comforted him and consoled him with the words, "Innaka latasilu rahim, wa tasduqul hadith, وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلِّ وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ وَتُعِينُ عَلَىٰ نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ." That Allah will never disgrace you. For indeed you tie the kins, you tie the bonds of kin and blood and relations. You speak the truth. You bear the burden of others. You provide for the destitute and penniless. You are hospitable to the guests. وَتُعِينُ عَلَىٰ نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. And you assist others in their calamities and misfortunes. Allah will never disgrace you. She was the one who took him to her cousin brother Warqat ibn Nawfal, who again reassured him and gave him glad tidings of his position and responsibility and of what was to come. And also gave him forewarnings of what was to come. She believed in him, supported him. And even before prophethood, in Surah Al-Duha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says to him, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَخْنَى. Did Allah not find you poor, in need, and then did Allah not enrich you? And how did Allah is boasting or announcing his favour to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That did Allah not find you poor, in need, and he enriched you? So how did Allah enrich Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was through Ummul Mu'mineen Khadija radiallahu anha. She was a businesswoman, a trader, wealthy, rich, noble, and dignified. And she proposed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her, and by entering her home, he went to live with her, in her home. She provided for him, assisted him. She made it easy for him to give in charity. She facilitated so much of his good work through her wealth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Khadija radiallahu anha with many opportunities. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved her and honored her. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha says, in a hadith related by Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi,
that I was never jealous of any of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as I was jealous of Khadija radiyallahu anha, even though I had never seen her. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would frequently mention her. He would praise her. He would slaughter goats, sheep, animals. He would cut up the pieces of meat, and then that meat he would distribute amongst the friends and family, amongst the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha. And Aisha radiallahu, Umm al-Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, in her jealousy, she would speak up. She says in the same, in one narration, she says that one day I became angry. And I said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I became angry because of his remembering Khadija radiyallahu anha. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's reply to her was, Inni ruziqtu hubbaha. I was blessed with her love. Allahu Akbar. In another narration, again of Bukhari, Ummu al-Mu'minin Aisha radiyallahu anha says that I would say in anger and jealousy to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it seems as though there is no woman in the world except Khadija. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather than falling silent in response, he would begin to say, she did this, she did that, she did this. She did so much. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would add that she bore me children. So Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam loved Khadija radiyallahu anha not only because she was his wife, but she bore him children. Not only because she was the mother of his children, but also because she loved him. And he felt that he had been given the gift of her love. Inni ruziqtu hubbaha. And not only that, but Allah had filled his heart with her love. And it wasn't just love. He honored her and he respected her because of what she had done for him personally, what she had done for the believers, the band of believers, and most importantly, what she had done for the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why even Aisha radiallahu anha, a woman confident of her place, assured of her love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his love for her, a woman guaranteed the Prophet's attention, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says, "I was never jealous of any of the women, any of the wives of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as much as I was jealous of Khadija, radiyallahu anha, even though I had never seen her." And this was because the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would constantly mention her, would constantly speak of her, would continuously give charity in her name. She says on one occasion, she was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a knock on the door. It was asked, "Who is it?" And she said, "Hala bint Khuwaylid." Hala bint Khuwaylid was a sister of Khadija radiyallahu anha. Inside the house, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, merely hearing the name of Hala, the sister of Khadija radiyallahu anha, and hearing her voice, because it was similar, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam was overwhelmed with emotion. And he exclaimed, "Allahumma Hala bint Khuwaylid." Oh Allah, it's Hala, the daughter of Khuwaylid, meaning the sister of Khadija radiyallahu anha. And he remembered Ummul Mu'mineen, Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu anha. And subhanallah. And again, the person who's relating all of this to us is not a partisan family member. This is, after all, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha. The one who felt so intimidated and threatened by her love, she is the one who honestly and faithfully relates to us the position of Ummul Mu'mineen Khadija radiyallahu anha in the sight of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One can say so much about Ummul Mu'mineen Khadija radiyallahu anha and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love for her, but I suffice with this. And the reason for mentioning this is that Fatima radiyallahu anha was the daughter of the same honored and beloved Khadijah al-Kubra radiyallahu anha, a woman of the same spirit, of the same knowledge, of the same understanding, of the same devotion and dedication to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his mission and message. And that spirit, that fiery spirit, showed through even in her childhood. There's a very famous story. Imagine, and this was in the very beginning of Islam. She was 5 years old approximately when the Prophet ﷺ received the Holy Quran. And this particular incident, which I relate, most likely would have taken place in the third or fourth year of Islam. So when Fatima radiallahu anha was 8 or 9 years old, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Muslim, and many others have all recorded this particular hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu says that one day I was in the haram in Mecca when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was performing salah, praying alone. The chieftains of the Quraysh, as per their custom, were seated next to the Kaaba. That was their place of honour. And these were the leaders of the Quraysh, the chieftains, the pride and the power of Mecca, Abu Jahl, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, Shaybah ibn Rabi'ah, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayd, Al-Walid ibn Utbah. These chieftains of Quraysh were seated next to the Kaaba. And they were observing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Abu Jahl proposed to them and said, announced, that who will rise and go to the she-camel of such and such a family that has just given birth and collect the placenta and the afterbirth of this she-camel. Now, camels are very large animals, and in rural areas, if anyone has ever seen, when the animals normally give birth, then the placenta or the afterbirth, the amniotic sac, etc., all of that afterbirth, it remains there until it's cleaned up. And it's quite substantial, depending on the size of the animal. So camel is a very large animal. So Abu Jahl said, who will rise and go to the she-camel of such and such a family that has just given birth? Since news would spread, people would know that such and such a camel has given birth. So who will go and fetch the placenta and the afterbirth and that filth of this she-camel that has just given birth? And bring it and dump it on the back of Muhammad when he is in prostration. So Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayd stood up, and he went, and he collected all this filth, the afterbirth and the placenta and the amniotic sac, and brought it. In Arabic, in the hadith, is known as Salah Jazur. Salah Jazur. So he brought it, and when the Prophet ﷺ fell into prostration, he dumped it on the Prophet's noble back. It was so heavy that Rasulullah ﷺ was unable to rise from his sajda. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who relates the story, says that I was helpless. I was alone, and I was unable to defend or help the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayd dumped this placenta on the back of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam and rose to the challenge of Abu Jahl, these chieftains of the Quraysh, they began laughing, falling over each other in laughter, nudging each other and poking each other in fun, and pointing at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu says, I was helpless, I was unable to say or do anything. Someone went and informed the family. Remember, this is in the very early days, when there were very few believers. And many of them had kept their faith secret. Someone went and informed the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who came out of the house? Fatima radiyallahu anha. This 8-9-year-old girl, she came running out. She came to the masjid, went over to her father, pushed all this filth off his noble back, and then he managed to rise. And then this young 8-9-year-old Fatima radiyallahu anha, with the spirit of her mother and her strength, she stood there, verbally abusing and swearing at all of these chieftains of the Quraysh. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he finished his salah, he came closer to the Kaaba and he prayed to Allah. And his prayer was, O Allah, seize. He named every one of them individually. Allahumma alayka bi Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. Allahumma alayka bi Shaybah ibn Rabi'ah. Allahumma alayka بالوليد بن عتبة اللهم عليك بعقبة بن أبي معيط اللهم عليك بأمية بن خلف. Every one of them, including Abu Jahl, he named. And he said, O Allah, seize Amr ibn Hisham, Abu Jahl. Seize عقبة بن أبي معيط. Seize أمية بن خلف. Seize عقبة بن ربيعة. شيبة بن ربيعة. الوليد بن عتبة. One by one he named all of them. That's when their laughter subsided and the smiles were wiped off their faces and they began to fear for themselves, because rather strangely, despite all of their despotic behaviour, the chieftains of the Quraysh knew certain things. One, they knew and they observed and honoured the sanctity of the Kaaba. They knew that the dua of a person was accepted in the vicinity of the Kaaba. And they also knew of the piety of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in a way, they were convinced of the truthfulness of his words and of his prayer being answered. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu says, when, not then, almost 10-12 years later, in the Battle of Badr, he says, I saw every one of them lying in the wells of Badr. Abu Jahl, Umayyad ibn Khalaf, and the others. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua was accepted, but the manifestation of the acceptance of his noble dua was much later in the Battle of Badr. So that was Fatima radiyallahu anha. She did what nobody else could do at that young, tender age of 8-9 years. That's how she grew up. Then in the later years, when, before the Hijrah, unfortunately, well, before the Hijrah, approximately 3 years before the Hijrah, in the 50th year of his life, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's noble wife, Ummul Mu'mineen Khadija radiyallahu anha, passed away, and her youngest daughter, Fatima radiyallahu anha, was grief-stricken. She was only 15 years of age at the time. Imagine, this is the beloved daughter of the Messenger of Allah. And look at what she went through. At 15 years of age, her mother passed away. And she witnessed the persecution of her father in her young years. Imagine witnessing, hearing this abuse, seeing this persecution firsthand at that young, tender age of 8-9 years. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was grief struck himself, and so was Fatima radiyallahu anha. But he consoled her. And years later, he continued to remind her that Jibreel alayhi salam has visited me and he has told me. And he would tell her that do not grieve for your mother, for Allah has given her a home in Jannah in which there is no din or clamour, and in which there is no fatigue or weariness, i.e. a place of peace and rest. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did hijrah from Makkah to Medina, Fatima radiyallahu anha travelled with him. Upon arrival in Medina, she was now approximately 18 years of age. Now the time was for her to get married, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam intended to marry her to none other than Ali radiyallahu anhu. But before that, he received proposals. And two of the proposals that he received were actually from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhuma. Both Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu to ask for Fatima radiyallahu anha's hand in marriage. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam politely declined. People say that he married Aisha radiyallahu anha in order to cement his political alliance with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and that he married Hafsa radiyallahu anha in order to cement his political alliance with Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. If that was the case, then wouldn't have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded? Wouldn't it have been even better for him to marry his daughter to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu when he asked for her hand in marriage? Or to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu? No. But as great as Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhuma were, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had different plans for his beloved daughter. He wanted to marry her to Ali radiyallahu anhu. But what was the position of Ali radiyallahu anhu? Was he a great leader at the time? Was he very wealthy? Was he rich? Was he powerful? What were the criteria for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam marrying his most beloved daughter to someone? When Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had now arrived in Medina. He no longer faced the direct persecution as he did in Mecca. He was now the de facto leader. He could have married his daughter to anyone whom he wished, and people would have been honored beyond belief to be married to the daughter of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhuma asked for her hand in marriage. There were many amongst the Muhajirun who were wealthy, who had now become wealthy. There were many amongst the Ansar who were wealthy, people of land, people of orchards, people of great wealth. Not all of them, but many of them. And of course, the Muhajirun were still poor in the majority, but some of them had succeeded in becoming wealthy even immediately after the Hijrah. Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiyallahu anhu, for instance. Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiyallahu anhu. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam could have married anyone, his daughter to anyone. But what were his criteria? Do you know what he used to say to Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhu? He used to politely decline, and he actually told them that I wish to marry her to Ali radiyallahu anhu because of his piety and because of his early Islam. That he became a Muslim very early because of his piety. These were the criteria of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam marrying his daughter. Ali radiyallahu anhu's rushing to embrace Islam and his piety. Was he wealthy? What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam seek for his daughter? Allahu Akbar. Was he wealthy? Far from being wealthy. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi relates in his Sahih, and I covered this in detail when I did the commentary of that hadith of Bukhari. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam married Fatima radiyallahu anha to Ali radiyallahu anhu. The nikah was done, but there was a gap in the period between the actual marriage ceremony, the nikah, and the consummation of the marriage, known in Arabic as bina, and in Asian languages it's known as rukhsati. So there was a gap between the nikah and the bina, the nikah and the rukhsati, the actual marriage ceremony and the consummation of the marriage and the moving in to the marital home. So during this period, Ali radiallahu anhu says of this period that I had a camel which I had received as part of the spoils of the Battle of Badr. And then I had another camel. So these two camels I would use to work, to collect and carry grass, dry grass, for people. So he would work by collecting grass and transporting and carrying grass on his camels. And in this manner, he says, I was earning and preparing for the consummation of my marriage to Fatima, radiallahu anha. Imagine, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was collecting and carrying and transporting grass for other people in order to earn enough money to have a marital home and to prepare for the consummation of his marriage to the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent his daughter away to the marital home, he gave her certain items. What did he give her? He gave her a cloak, more like a blanket, a khamila. He gave her some pots, utensils, some pitchers for water. He gave her a pillow stuffed with lemongrass, idkhir. And he gave her two stone handmills in order to grind the grain. These were the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave to his daughter when he sent her to the marital home. And it wasn't simply because these were days of want and poverty, but later when riches flowed into Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam opened up the coffers for his family. He was a messenger of Allah. He was not a monarch. He was a man of the akhirah, not the man of the dunya. And he wanted for his children what he wanted for himself. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi relates a hadith, again in his sahih, that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to visit his daughter. When he arrived at the house, as some of you may have seen in warmer climates and countries, in warmer countries, the doors aren't always locked. Sometimes there is no door, and you normally just have a mat or a piece of cloth covering the main entrance. So in a similar way, there was a blanket covering the main entrance into the house of Fatima radiallahu anha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, stood at the entrance, and he saw the blanket. The blanket was colourful with patterns. And when he momentarily stood there, only momentarily, the beautiful colours and the patterns of this blanket distracted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and reminded him of the dunya, of the world. So he stood there and exclaimed, Mali walid dunya, what connection do I have with the dunya? And he turned around and went back home. So Fatima radiallahu anha, when she realized that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had come all the way to my door, but at the last minute he had turned around and returned home and not entered my house, she was concerned. So when Ali radiallahu anhu came later, she told Ali radiallahu anhu what had happened. So she said, go and inquire. So Ali radiallahu anhu went to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, you came home and this is what happened, but you returned. They still didn't know what had actually happened. But he came and then went back. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then told him that I saw this blanket and it distracted me and reminded me of the dunya. So Ali radiallahu anhu went and told Fatima radiallahu anha what had happened. She was, after all, the daughter of her father. She never remained silent. She said to him, go and tell the Messenger of Allah. This is how they saw him. The wives saw him not just as a husband, but as a messenger of Allah. The daughters, the children saw him not just as a beloved father, but as a messenger of Allah. So she said, go back and tell him that, O Messenger of Allah, Fatima will do whatever you wish her to do. Instruct her and she will bid your command. So Ali radiallahu anhu went back, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and told him. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ali radiallahu anhu, tell her to take down this blanket and give it to such and such family who are in greater need. Ali radiallahu anhu went. He told her, Fatima radiallahu anha, remove the blanket and sent it to the family that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given instructions for. What he wanted for himself, he wanted the same for his children. In fact, there was another incident which was very similar. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came home, and this must have been afterwards because there was a blanket there. But he came and he saw Hassan and Hussein, his two grandchildren, the sons of Fatima radiallahu anha, and both of them had a bangle on their wrists. Being children, they both had a bangle. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw these bangles and he went back home. So Fatima radiallahu anha, again when she learned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had come and gone back, she thought it was a blanket again, so she removed the blanket. But upon inquiry, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, again Ali radiallahu anhu went, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it was a bangles. How is it that others live in poverty whilst the grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam have these bangles? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Fatima radiallahu, he sent word to Fatima radiallahu anha, take these bangles and give them to such and such people who are in greater need. And he then told whoever he was instructing that instead go and buy a necklace for Fatima radiallahu anha, which is very cheap, which only has trinkets of bone, animal bones. So go and get one of those for Fatima radiallahu anha. And for the children, get bangles of... He asked for a replacement bangle, which was much, much cheaper, very simple. And he said, go and give those to Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhumah. In fact, Imam Abu Dawood, rahmatullah, this is what he wanted for himself and his family. Imam Abu Dawood, rahmatullah, relates a hadith. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah, relates a hadith in his Musnad. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once went to visit Fatima radiallahu anha. And she showed him a necklace given by Ali radiallahu anhu. This must have been in the later years. So she said, father, like any daughter would show her father, she said, father, Abu al-Hassan, meaning the father of Hassan radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, she said, father, look, Ali, the father of Hassan, gave me this necklace. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O Fatima, does it please you that you have a chain of fire? Does it please you that you have a chain of fire? So Fatima radiallahu anha took the necklace given by Ali radiallahu anha. She sold it, and with the money that she received, she bought a slave and she freed the slave. And after freeing the slave, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to her, O Fatima, now you have saved and protected yourself from the fire. Allahu Akbar. What he wanted for himself, he wanted for his son, for his children. And especially for Fatima radiallahu anha. And what kind of married life did they lead? As I said, he didn't just give these very simple gifts to Fatima radiallahu anha at the time of her marriage, because this was the earlier stage in Medina when there was very little wealth. No, even later. And this is shown by the famous story that Fatima radiallahu anha said to Ali, well, actually Ali radiallahu anha once said to Fatima radiallahu anha that wealth has come into Medina when, at the time of conquest, and later things opened up, wealth poured into Medina. Ali radiallahu anha said to Fatima radiallahu anha, wealth has come to Medina. So go to your father and tell him about your plight in the house. She worked until her hands were chapped. And Ali radiallahu anha said, tell your father that I have worked and I continue to work so hard that I have chest pains. A young man, I have chest pains. And what was the job of Ali radiallahu anha? What was the job of the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you know what his job was? He used to water palm trees for other people in their orchards. That was the job of the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to water palm trees and palm groves. And he was so laborious, such an arduous job, that he said to her, go and tell your father that we need help in the house. Look at the way you have worked and look how hard I have worked that I suffer chest pains. So Fatima radiallahu anha went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She spoke to him. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, O my daughter, how would it be if I give you wealth and I deprive the people of the Suffah and the Muhajirun who live in poverty of wealth? Should I give to you and not give to them? Fatima radiallahu anha stood up and left. She returned home. Later, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to visit Fatima radiallahu anha. Fatima radiallahu anha and Ali radiallahu anha were lying down, covered in a blanket. And what kind of blanket? Subhanallah. The blanket was so small that if they covered their heads, the feet remained exposed. If they covered their feet, the heads remained exposed. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went and sat down next to them and said, you came to me earlier on to ask for a maid or a helping hand or some wealth. Should I not give you something better? They said, of course, O Messenger of Allah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, subhanallah. They asked for wealth. They asked for a maid to assist Fatima radiallahu anha. They asked for a helping hand because of her chapped hands. They asked for some wealth and assistance because of the poor health and the chest pains of Ali radiallahu anhu having overworked himself. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to them, should I not give you something better? The father is saying to the daughter and son-in-law, should I not give you something better? What was he about to offer? He said to both of them, when you both retire at night, then say subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times. This is far better than anything else. That was his gift to them. Ali radiallahu anhu says, from that day onwards, never have I retired at night without having prayed this tasbih also. This is why it's famously known as the tasbih of Fatima radiallahu anha. That was how simply they lived. Because she was a daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And never for a moment did she utter an exclamation of any exasperation or frustration or sorrow and sadness or disappointment. She accepted whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposed to her. She lived just like her father lived. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved her dearly. He truly loved her. And her position with the Messenger of Allah was such that she was his daughter, she was his beloved daughter. But in such a way that once Ali radiallahu anhu, There was a proposal and there was some discussion about him marrying the daughter of Abu Jahl. He actually approached the family of Abu Jahl. I told you before that Abu Jahl, just like Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, strangely, the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their family members came to love him. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the chief hypocrite and the leader of the Munafiqun in Medina. His children were sincere believers, his son and his daughters, and his wife also. Abu Sufyan at that time was the enemy. His daughter Ramla, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, also known as Habiba radiallahu anha, she was one of the first Muslims who actually did hijrah to Abyssinia, and later she married the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Jahl also, his children went on to embrace Islam. So one of the daughters of Abu Jahl, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, wanted to marry Abu Jahl's daughter. So he approached the family and began discussions. Word reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ascended the minbar. It's a famous hadith recorded by most authors. Ascended the minbar and publicly announced that never will the daughter of the Messenger of Allah and the daughter of the enemy of Allah come together in one home. Then he announced, إِنَّمَا فَاطِمَةُ بَدْعَةٌ مِّنِّي. Indeed, Fatima is only, she is but a piece of me. What disturbs me, disturbs her. What hurts me, hurts her. No, it's the other way around, sorry. Fatima is but a piece of me. What disturbs her, disturbs me. What hurts her, hurts me. When Ali radiallahu anhu heard this announcement, he shedded all plans of marrying anyone else. And till Fatima radiallahu anha lived, just like her mother, Khadija radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never married another woman as long as Khadija radiallahu anha was alive. Ali radiallahu anha never married another woman as long as Fatima radiallahu anha was alive. That was her position with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually said to, he looks at Fatima radiallahu anha and Ali radiallahu anhu and Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, and looking at them, he said to them, I am war against whoever battles with you, and I am peace with whoever makes peace with you. What strong words. I am war against those who battle against you, and I am peace for those who make peace with you. And Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi and others relate famous hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took a blanket. This is known as hadith al-Qisa. And he called Fatima radiyallahu anha, Ali radiyallahu anhu, Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhuma, and he pulled the blanket over himself and these four. And then, putting the blanket over all five, he said, Oh Allah, this is my family. Oh Allah, these are the people of my household. Oh Allah, purify them, a thorough purification. So, indeed, that was the position of Fatima radiallahu anha with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she resembled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every way. I've just described how her heart and her mind, her thinking and her belief and her practice was very similar to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But even physically she resembled him. Anas radiallahu anhu says that there were two people who resembled the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in appearance more than anybody else. And they were Hassan radiallahu anhu, the grandson, and Fatima radiallahu anha. In fact, only one of the sons. So this is why Hassan radiallahu anhu, who's well known, when he went to Kufa with his father had to actually ascend the minbar. Because Hassan radiallahu anhu used to marry and then he used to get divorced, he used to marry again, he used to get divorced, he used to get married again, he used to get divorced. And people have said that the number of women he married, some have said 70, some have said over 100 women he married. And so much so that Ali radiallahu anhu had to actually ascend the minbar in Kufa and publicly announce and say, "O people of Kufa, I say to you, do not marry your daughters to my son, Hassan. Do not marry your daughters to my son." But you know what the people of Kufa said? "In this we will not listen to Ali ibn Abi Talib. In this we will not listen to Ali ibn Abi Talib. We will marry our daughters to Hassan." Why? Of all the males, he most resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in appearance. But even more than his own brother, his mother being a female actually resembled in appearance her father more than his grandson. So she looked very similar to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. And not just in appearance. That's Anas radiallahu anhu says, in appearance, Hassan radiallahu anhu and Fatima radiallahu anha. But Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, says that I have never seen anyone more similar and more resembling of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in speech, in character, in gait, in conduct than Fatima radiallahu anha. In fact, in one hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha says, "We were all seated, the wives, when Fatima came in." She says, "Even her manner of walking was not different to the walk of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." They observed her. So she resembled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even in gait, in mannerisms, in speech. She was indeed like her father. And she held a great position. And that's why when the wives wanted someone to intercede on their behalf, they would approach Fatima radiallahu anha. And she would approach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But even then, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to her on one occasion, "O Fatima, ask me for whatever you want now in this world, for I will not be able to avail you of anything with Allah." Imagine. He says, "I can give you what you want in the dunya. When it comes to the akhirah, when it comes to Allah, I cannot guarantee you anything." That's the meaning of that particular hadith. Although it is offset by other hadith which we know, which came later. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu, there's a lot that can be said, we're running short of time. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha said that towards the end of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life, when he was in his final illness, Fatima radiallahu anha came to see him. And before that, there was one other occasion when Fatima radiallahu anha was seated with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha was watching them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam whispered something to Fatima radiallahu anha, and she began weeping uncontrollably. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam whispered something to her again. Then she stopped crying and began smiling. So later Aisha radiallahu anha approached her and said, "The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whispered something to you, then you wept. Then he whispered something to you again, and then you smiled. What was it?" So she said, "I cannot divulge the secret of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Later, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha asked Fatima radiallahu anha again, "O Fatima, tell me, when he whispered to you and you wept, and then he whispered to you again and you smiled, what did he say?" So she said, then I wouldn't divulge his secret. But now that he has departed from this world, then yes. He whispered to me the first time. We were seated together. He whispered to me the first time. And he said to me that each year Jibreel comes to me to revise the Qur'an. And this year, he has come to me and revised the Qur'an twice with me. I do not think this, but to me, that my departure from the world is close. So Fatima radiallahu anha began weeping. Then, when she wept, she says, he then whispered to me, but Fatima, do not weep. I also give you the glad tidings that of all the people, i.e. close to him and his family, you will be the first to meet me. That's when she smiled. In one narration, he even said to her, O Fatima, doesn't it please you? Meaning, along with telling her that she would be the first to meet him, he also said to her that, does it not please you, O Fatima, that you are Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahli Jannah, the leading lady of the women of the people of paradise. So that's why she smiled. Allahu Akbar. On another occasion, again something very similar. This time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying down. On the previous occasion, he was seated. They were seated next to each other. And do you know the manner in which father and daughter would meet and how close and similar they were to each other? Allahu Akbar. The way they would meet, Aisha radiallahu anha says that when Fatima radiallahu anha would come to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would rise, he would go over to her, receive her, embrace her, kiss her, and then he would make her sit where he was seated. And when she went to visit him, when he went to visit her, she would do the same. She would rise, receive her father, kiss him, embrace him, and bid him to sit down where she was seated. But on this occasion, Aisha radiallahu anha says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very ill. He was on his bed. Fatima radiallahu anha came. She fell on her father, kissed him, raised her head, kissed him again, raised her head, began weeping, kissed him again, raised her head, and began smiling. So she asked her about this also. So again she said, I kissed him, then I raised my head, then I fell down on his face and kissed him again, and I raised my head and I began weeping. It's because he said to me that my time has come for me to depart from the world. And then when she kissed him again and raised her head and she began smiling, it's because again he said to her, you are the first one to meet me. And he gave her glad tidings of her position in Jannah as being the liege lady and the leading lady of the women of Jannah. And different words have been described for her, and I will tell you about them in a moment. One of the lessons here is that, subhanAllah, look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that of his daughter. She in his lifetime, he witnessed, his father had already passed away before he came into this world. His mother passed away at the age of 6. His grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, passed away at the age of 8. He then moved in, no brothers, no sisters, with his uncle Abu Talib, who looked after him, all the way till the age of 50 when Abu Talib passed away. His wife, Khadija radiallahu anha, passed away. One of his wives, Zainab radiallahu anha, Zainab bint Khuzaymah, she passed away during his lifetime. So he lost Khadija radiallahu anha as well as Zainab radiallahu anha. His eldest daughter Zainab radiallahu anha passed away. He witnessed his daughter's death. His daughter Ruqayya radiallahu anha passed away in his lifetime. His daughter Umm Kulthum radiyallahu anha passed away. His sons Qasim and Abdullah passed away in their infancy. And even in late old age, Ibrahim radiyallahu anha. Imagine the joy of the father when he is over 60 years of age and he has a son born to him. And he witnessed the death of his son Ibrahim radiyallahu anha. And what honesty, Allahu Akbar. When his son passed away, Ibrahim radiyallahu anhu, on that same day there was a solar eclipse. People in the whole of Medina joined the two events. And they said, there is a solar eclipse because the sun and the moon and the heavens are in mourning over the death of the son of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had he been an imposter, in his grief, in his sorrow, in his state of being overwhelmed with emotion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have remained silent. He could have just remained silent. And it would have worked wonders for him, had he been an imposter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as soon as he heard people say that the heavens are in mourning and the sun and the moon are marking the death of the Messenger's son sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with an eclipse, he made an announcement, gathered the people, and despite his mourning, despite having lost his son just a short while ago, he ascended the minbar and announced to the people, "Inna ash-shamsa wal-qamara la yankasifani limawti ahadin," that, oh people, know that the sun and the moon are not eclipsed by the birth or the death of anyone. What would have given him prestige? What would have given him credit? What would have bolstered his position? What would have boosted his position? Even in his mourning and sorrow, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam challenged it openly and rid people of this misconception, of this confusion, and of this superstition. And said, the sun and the moon are not eclipsed by the birth or death of anyone. Allahu Akbar. So he witnessed the death of Ibrahim radiyallahu anhu. In his lifetime, he saw two of his wives pass away, his mother pass away, all the people who looked after him and who cared for him pass away. He witnessed the death and the torture of many of his followers and his own family members. He lost all his sons and all his daughters, with the exception of Fatima radiyallahu anha. And even her, he is telling her on the way out of this world, that do not worry, O my daughter, soon you will be the first to join me. And that's exactly what happened. Fatima radiyallahu anha did not live after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except for 6 months. And do you know what was her age at the time? 25 years. Fatima radiyallahu anha. She passed away at the age of approximately 25. The most that had been suggested is that she passed away at the age of 29. But the ulama say that that's incorrect. It was a younger age. Because remember, she got married in... and her marriage was consummated in the second year of Hijrah. And then she lived with Ali radiyallahu anhu till the end of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life. That was 8 years. So around approximately 25 years of age, that's when she passed away. So, such a young age. Imagine her life and the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As I said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave her glad tidings that you will be the first to join me. He also informed her that she will be the liege lady, Sayyidat Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, the leading lady and the lead, the liege lady of the women of Jannah. And not just of Jannah. In one hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Hasbuk, that out of all the women of the world, 4 women are sufficient for you. And the 4 are Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, Khadija, Fatima, and Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Asiya bint Muzahim, the wife of Fir'aun. And indeed, she is a leader the liege lady of the women of Jannah, the liege lady of the women of the believers. And I'll end with one very beautiful hadith about this, narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi and others. Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu says that one day my mother said to me that, "Oh Hudhayfah, when was the last time you saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" So he said, "Mother, it's been some time since I last saw him and met him." So she scolded him and said, "How can you let such a long time pass between you seeing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Go and visit him." So Hudhayfah radiyallahu anhu said, "I will go to the masjid. It is time for Maghrib Salah. I will go to the masjid and meet the Messenger of Allah." So the Prophet Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu says that I went to the masjid. But I couldn't see. I prayed Maghrib Salah with the Messenger of Allah, but after Maghrib I couldn't see him. And he remained engaged in ibadah until after Isha. Then after Isha Salah, I managed to catch some time with him and I followed him. So as I was following him, he turned around and he said, "Who is it?" So I said, "Hudhayfah." He said, "Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman." I said, "Yes." When his mother sent him, she said, going back to the beginning of the hadith, Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu says that my mother asked me, "When was the last time you saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam?" So he said, "It's been some time." So she scolded him that, "How can you let so much time pass? Go and visit him." So Hudhayfah radiyallahu anhu said, "Yes, mother, I will go and visit the Messenger of Allah, and I will ask him for forgiveness, and I will ask him to pray for me and to pray for you for forgiveness." So then he says, "I went to the masjid. I prayed Maghrib Salah, but I couldn't meet him after Maghrib. I waited till Isha. After Isha, I managed to catch an opportunity with him. So as I followed him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, 'Who is it?' I said, 'Hudhayfah.' So he said, 'Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman.' I said, 'Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman, O Messenger of Allah.' Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, 'May Allah forgive you and your mother. May Allah forgive you and your mother.' And then he said, 'Oh Hudhayfah, did you just see what happened?' He said, 'No, Messenger of Allah.' He said, 'Something came and went. Did you not see?' He said, 'No.' He said, 'That was Jibreel who came to me. And he informed me that Fatima is Sayyidat al-Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. Fatima is a liege lady of the women of the people of paradise. And that Hassan and Hussein are the leaders of the youth of Jannah.'" I end with this. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to appreciate the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the life of his family. Just as he is a role model for the believers, his family are all role models and an example for the believing men, women and children. And I pray that Allah enable us to learn of the life of Fatima radiyallahu anha, to adopt her example and to follow in her footsteps. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasulih, nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق.